Welcome to the Gospel Truth Project podcast. I'm your host, Jason, and I'm here with my co-host.
What's up, guys? It's me, Dylan.
And, you know, we're sticking to it and recording a second episode of season three. It's good to be back. I'm happy for more recording and more episodes and more discussion.
Yeah, look at that. We actually didn't disappear for a year and a half or so.
Yeah, the goal is to post once a week. Simple.
Ooh. I like a challenge.
Okay. Okay. We'll be posting on Sunday evenings, probably around 8 to 10 MST or California time, I guess is a better way to say it for most of our listeners.
What?
MST, you know, Arizona time.
Oh, you mean the smart people who don't change their time.
Yeah, yeah. No.
I fight it all the time. It's true.
Yeah.
Like my office clock, I didn't change it. I'm like, my mom went and then this is my office. She's supposed to be in my office. And she's like, Dylan, this is an hour off. I'm like, just give it a few months. It's going to be right.
It'll be right. It'll be right in another 6 months.
I'm not changing it. So I was like, it was literally like 3 months ago. I was like, just give it a month.
But now you're on my time zone. We're on the same time.
You mean we're in the correct time?
Yeah, so why don't you move your clock, you know, so it's now accurate.
Ben Franklin. He had the idea of it, and then we admitted it, and then it's so stupid because it was made for the farmers.
Right, but good thing we're not talking farmers about that today.
No, we're not.
Right, but I will say
it could be a whole episode started, on itself.
It could be, but we're not going to do that. But I will say,
no.
Maybe you can be a guest on another podcast, and we'll work that out. But so I will say before we get into the topic, how are you doing?
Tired. That's the life. And I don't mind it. I like I said, you know, before we actually started, I said, you look how I feel. So like, you know, no, I'm good. Yeah. I'm ready to go back. I'm ready to get back into it. So I'm just excited to be recording again. And yeah, it was cool getting to like listen to it and show the boy. I'm like, look right here, I talked about you. He's like, what? And then he's like, mm-hmm. You talk a lot, Dad. I'm like, thank you. Yes.
Sounds like that's cool. I'm glad that he's enjoying it. And it sounds like and me both need a Sabbath day.
Yes, it's a little hard with the kids. Like I'm not gonna lie. Like the other day, we did you know a little bit of yard work in quotes. Like,
yeah,
we dug up a couple rocks that were in the backyard, and then that's it.
Yeah,
you know, so I mean, it's like
Sabbath just means a day of rest, worship, that kind of thing. I mean, Mark 2:27, Jesus said that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So he made it so that we can take a day of rest because he knew you need a day of rest. And that's important to take a day for yourself to rest. And rest doesn't necessarily mean I'm not like going to go drive somewhere or I'm not going to do something. Like for me, rest can mean I am going to spend the day with, you know, my wife and go do stuff throughout the day. And that can be restful because I'm just like, oh, we're just going to go shopping or we'll go get food or we'll go see nature. And it's relaxing. And that kind of stuff is important to do. And it sounds like we both
need that. And like this, honestly, recording and talking about Jesus, for me, like that is a form of, I don't know, relaxation. Like sitting here and getting to be in the Word, it's just like, it's detoxing, and it's, and also get to hang out with, you know, we have one of your best buds. It makes it, it's you know, and it is relaxing, and it's like, especially recording now because this is like a little section, a little kind of almost like a little special time where I get to, you know. The kids are sleeping. The wife is sleeping. I get to be awake. Just me and the dog. Like, you know? And it is like, kind of like that God, my God time. It is my God time I get during the day. You know, sure, I'll be a little tired, but, you know, it's the same thing if I woke up an hour earlier in the morning. Some people can do that. They can wake up. You know, they wake up an hour. You know, somebody was talking about, oh, I wake up at 5 o'clock so I can have my my hour with God before my day starts. Mm-hmm. And then my head are going like, oh, that's about the time I get up normally so I can go to work on time. You know? But that's what I'm talking about. Like, you know, and whether, you know, I'm a night owl or my wife, she'd rather have her cup of coffee at, you know, 5 in the morning to go sit out on, you know, on the patio and just enjoy God's wonderful creation and her nature, you know. And for me, I'm like, I'd rather stay up late and listen to the cop sirens, go down the street and really start praying out of the hot, going like, dear God, please let it not be close by. No, but but you know, no, it's like, you know, I'd rather be up at night where it's all calm and everything's peaceful. I'm like, the day is done. I can relax. This is it. This is all that's left on my plate right now, is talking about Jesus with Jason.
I love it. I'm with you on that one, honestly.
You know, yeah, it's, and no, I don't have to worry, but there's no more poopy diapers today. There's no more, Dad, I'm hungry. Can I have a snack?
None
there's
of that.
No, you know, hey, can he get the trash? No.
Mm-hmm.
I do have to make coffee, but that's okay. That's 2 seconds. Easy.
Yeah, 2 seconds. Easy, easy.
Yeah.
Awesome. No,
it is it is finding those little things, though, even in your day, those Sabbath moments, I'd say. Not what we're talking about at all, but.
No, I mean, actually not.
But. It's good to even to take those little nuggets when you can, because there are seasons where you're super busy. Like both of us, you know, your work is demanding.
Very.
And I have 2 children. Like, yeah. It's,
very.
At least you get paid. You know.
You get paid in joy and the love that you get from that. No.
And tax returns. No.
Perfect.
If the IRS ever figures out what they're doing, that's besides the point.
So,
but no, that is, you know, my video just wig out.
Yeah, your video wigged out. Well, it's like it was catching up to your voice. So,
yeah, well, my whole computer just like did this thing. It's a Windows, so it opened like the little Windows tab, and I was like, I need to get back to it. And then open back up, and I see myself going, how do I know that? I was like, I was talking in tongues. But I wasn't talking.
Yeah, it's catching up. Well, to get us back on track, I can do this. Cool thing is, today's episode, it's called Teach the Word Early Church How-To's. Super easy.
I like it.
Kind of get us on track here, because I did give you a little bit of, like, here's something. Regarding it. But long story short, teachers of God's word are held to a higher standard. We know this. James 3:1 actually says it pretty plainly. Not many of you should become teachers, specifically serving an official teaching capacity. My brothers and sisters, for you know that we who are teachers will be judged by a higher standard with great strictness. We actually did do an episode before in season 1, callback, to an episode talking about preaching and teaching, the difference between the two, because all are called to preach because we are to declare the word of God is part of the Great Commission. When it comes to teaching, it had a more strict, like, this, you have to live a certain standard and also reflect a certain way, as well as understand the Bible to a certain degree. Well, scripture in general to a certain degree, which is why James 3:1 was so serious about it. So it's one of the most powerful callings today in this podcast episode. Me and Dylan are breaking down how to teach scripture faithfully. So the key question to this whole episode is, what does the Bible say about teaching, and how did the early church model it?
Yeah,
that is what I texted you, right?
Yeah. Well, my phone's my camera, so I can't really check it right now. But yeah, I'm pretty positive. It's funny you bring up that verse, because that was a verse that I was constantly told growing up. Mm-hmm. Because at the age of like 12, 12, 13. Like, I'm going to be a pastor. That's what God's called me to do. And people always, they tell me that verse. Some people would tell me that verse, like, I don't know, like, they're trying to scare me away, almost. Be like, oh, well, no, listen here, Dylan, you don't want to do that, because you're going to get judged harder.
Okay.
In my little, you know, like, I remember in high school, like, you know, they're doing your, okay, we have to have your graduation plan here. What's your plan for your future?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be a pastor. Okay, but how? I don't know. God will decide that. That's not up to me. Like, that, we can't put that on paper, though. I need an actual answer. And they went on for that for like months and months, until it was like a month before, like, Dylan, we don't have an answer for your dang paper. Just give us something, please. I'm like, okay, put computer science. Like, okay, sounds good. Leave me alone. I'm like, thanks. Like, not saying you can't do it, but like, that's not an option for our papers. I'm like, make it an option. What if I said I wanted to be a clown? You know, right, well, there's clown school. There's seminary. Like, I'm like, they're like, yeah, but you said you don't know. You know if you're gonna do that. I'm like, no, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I didn't know I was going to be a gymnastics instructor and be a youth pastor for almost a decade. You know.
Right. Yeah. True.
Thank you for teaching all the computer science.
I will summarize that episode just so listeners here can kind of get it.
No, don't summarize. Go back and listen to it.
Yeah. Go back and listen to it. Preaching. It's just, kieriso in Greek. Was to proclaim the gospel, which you see in Mark 1:14. It focused on salvation, repentance, and the kingdom of God at hand. You can see that Matthew 4:17, Romans 10:14-15. Go listen to the episode. It's often public and evangelic in the sense of like outreach, talking, urgency, but loving. Teaching, which was the word didaskou, which didaskou explained the gospel, which was Acts 18:11. It talks about this. It focused on doctrine, obedience, and discipleship. Matthew 28:20, 2 Timothy 2:2. You can go look those up. Both, they're very similar. Both are commanded. Both require clarity and boldness. Both are gifts of the Spirit. If you go back to early church writings like the Didache, which was written 50 to 120 AD, it shows preaching was for converts, people to see the light and to come to Christ, and teaching was for baptized believers specifically. So preaching is a calling people to Christ. Teaching is training people in Christ. Summarized. took 2 minutes, but yeah, summarized it all.
That's pretty good.
Go listen to that episode.
Yeah, I'm going to actually have to re-listen to that before or after we do this, not before.
I think we should do a part two before it, because I think there was more to touch up on now that you've grown, I've grown, and read more and studied more and have a little bit more
backing to. There's a couple of those. I mean, we had a couple of those early episodes too, where you're like, oh, we have to try to fit this all in this amount of time. But we can even do a couple of those part two. I mean, we're season three now. So, I mean,
part one, part two, part three, we can.
You can go back to season one, you know, and reference stuff now.
Mm-hmm. True.
Seven seasons in a movie.
Yeah. So I'll say, first off, Jesus' command, right? Matthew 28:19-20. I mentioned it a little bit. It just says, Jesus commanded disciples, go therefore, make disciples of the nation, help the people learn of me, believe in me, and obey my words, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you, right? So we know that this is teaching, discipleship equals teaching obedience to Christ.
Yep.
Paul's charge, 2 Timothy 4:2, right? Preach the word as an official messenger, but be ready when the time is right. And even when it is not, keep your sense of urgency, whether the opportunity seems favorable or unfavorable, whether convenient or inconvenient, whether welcomed or unwelcomed, correct those who err in doctrine or behavior, rebuke those who sin, exhort and encourage those who are grown towards spiritual maturity with inexhaustible patience and faithful teaching. Mm. Preach the truth, not opinions. It doesn't say give your take. It's preach truth. Be ready. If weather's convenient or not, you might be like late for work, getting gas in the car, and someone's like, I need help with this. And you start talking with them, and all of a sudden they're like, why are you so nice? And you're like, it's Christ within me, loving you through me. And then because he's called me to love you, I'll show you love. I'll love on you. You know, it that might not great. Be convenient timing, but that's the point, is that we're always about open to it.
See, that never happens to me because I'm up too early. On the way home, maybe. But, yeah. It just, that reminds me, too, of, like, Mark 10. Mm-hmm. It's talking about, because Jesus teaches the disciples so much on, like, the authority and how to act. It's like, it says, what, Mark 10, 42, Jesus calls them together and says, you know these who are regarded as the rulers of the Gentiles, Lord, Lord it over them, and the high officials exercise authority over them. Mm-hmm. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Those mm-hmm. who want to first must be a slave to all, for even the Son of Man came to serve and to be in service, and then he paid his ransom. He says that to and it talks mm-hmm. about that too. I think that's a big thing, is like you're saying, like you could be focused on what you need to do, but mm-hmm. if somebody needs you to serve them in a sense, with either mm-hmm. you just actions or words or something that you need, we're called to have that, to be a servant.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a big thing too, is the humility of it all. And kind of, that's another thing too that's very hard, I think, like we talked about last week's episode, about being a guy. It's like, mm-hmm. Humble yourself. And I mean, humble and to be able to serve, because a lot of people in general actually have that pridefulness that we're like, oh, no, there's a classic, pull yourself over your bootstraps. I mean, mm-hmm. some level, yes, you need to be able to try to take care of yourself. But when you see somebody in need, they're struggling.
You're there.
You're supposed to, like, I think of Benji, a friend of ours. He'd be out with his truck at the dunes. And he would just... didn't charge nobody ever. He would just go out there on a Friday night and, somebody's mm-hmm. stuck. And that's just the way he served. Mm-hmm. And that family has a good servant's heart. All of them, they always want to help. And that's, that's something cool we can say, that is you can see it where people have that servant's heart and having mm-hmm. that. And that's a great way you can lead and teach.
Mm-hmm. True.
I think that's a big key of serving. Is this a good church and a great church in a sense?
True. No, that's true. And we were talking about, understanding that we are to lean on each other, to strengthen each mm-hmm. other, to grow with each other. That's actually part of the idea behind rebuke in the Bible when it talks about that, what we just read. The Greek mm-hmm. word is elekchu. Elekchu is to convict, expose, error, correct sin with authority, but the goal to it is restoration, not shame. You can see that 2 Timothy 3:16, Galatians 6:1. The tone of that correction is to be bold but loving. You can see that Revelations 3:19, mm-hmm. Proverbs 27 talks about that pretty decently. When we look at like early fathers, church fathers, like Polycarp or the Didache, Polycarp would say to turning the erring back with gentleness, so it was in a gentle way. The Didache says to rebuke was like a communal thing done before witnesses, not in the sense of like you're calling someone out in public square, hey you. let's say I get another friend of ours, you and me, and we come up to you and say, hey, Dylan, let's talk about this. Like you're doing these things. You're a leader, you're a teacher. you are sinning constantly and you're okay with it. This is, as someone who believes in Christ, that is not okay. And we lovingly restore gently, show correction using scripture, acting fast in the sense of like, we know who you are. We work with you. We're friends. We love you. And there's a leave room for repentance. And 2 Chronicles 2:6-8 talks about that. The danger that we see a lot with this kind of mentality is that harsh rebuke without the love side breeds rebellion. Colossians 3:20-21 actually talks about that. So it's like, there's a really easy way to step outside of what the Bible's talking about in this instance. And unfortunately, we see a lot of Christians nowadays who think, I'm going to do that to anybody and everybody outside of the Christian faith, when that is not what we're called to do. Teaching is within the Christian faith. Mm-hmm. Preaching is sharing to bring people to Christ so they can have the Holy Spirit, receive the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit starts to work.
Yeah. And that also reminds me, you know what the next step in the step is after that? It says to do. I mean, do you recall or do you know? The next step, if you go and say, you know, like we use an example, like, hey Dylan, you know, me and Alex, you know, you come to me, you go, hey, we noticed this is something you're struggling with, you know, blah 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 blah. And you talk to me about it. The next step, I believe it says, I can't remember where, I believe it's then that you bring it to the pastor or the leader of the church. Then the leader of the church is in the one that handles it next, and then it becomes, you know, the whole church is supposed to help. And then after that, if that doesn't work, I believe it says just then you're to give it to the Lord. And the Lord will deal with it accordingly. Something like that. I can't remember where that's at. I'm pretty sure.
It's not paraphrase.
I'm paraphrasing here, of course.
Right. Because I know James 5:16. I brought in James. Haha. Yeah, it's brought it upon yourself. Because James 5:16 encourages believers to confess their sins to one another, pray with one another, so they may be healed. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching, which we can see that's Paul's charge. Preach truth, not opinions, be ready, correct errors, rebuke sin, in the same way that we just described rebuke. That the Bible describes it, and encourage growth. And then 4, do it with patience and clarity. The early church, you can see, like, if you ever read it, the Didache is really good to read. It's not authority in the sense of like scripture, but it's good to read because it's the first century manual for training new believers in doctrine.
Yep.
And it does that really clearly, saying this is how you make sure you're doing a loving job, because that's the Holy Spirit's job to convict once they start believing, once they have faith, the Holy Spirit's given. And at that point, that's when teaching becomes the main objective there, is with each other. The teach, grow, and correct based upon scripture and what we are called to live life like.
Yeah, it's so crazy. The thing is too, it's the interesting thing about like the early church and too, and is, you know, this is all new. It's so new. But if you're someone who's new to the faith, like nowadays, it's all still so relevant. And I think it's the relevancy that it makes it all so interesting, that even though we're talking 2,000 years ago, still, you know, the way you learn from that and that what's going on, you know, it's the same thing. There's new challenges, of course, with modern day, but like, I think, yeah, it's very interesting. But what you're saying too, I think the biggest thing that's always missed with that, while correcting someone, is the clarity. You know, I see there's people, you know, because if you don't have the clarity of when you're saying it, I remember being a youth group and somebody kind of had make it funny, a God complex, like a superiority complex.
Right.
I think they're a couple of years older than me. They're like about your age. And I'm like seventh grade. They're like a freshman in high school or whatever they were. Mm-hmm. And they came up to me and were like, hey, guys, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. And me being me, I was like, first off, you're not in charge. Second of off, like, you have no authority here. So back off. I don't care what you're saying. I'm like, you're not the pastor. You're not the youth pastor. You're not a leader. You're a kid like me. And, you know, but it was the way he, you know, it came off. And there's adults who are like that, too, that I feel like, you know, or even maybe it's been handled the correct way. And then that goes, where sort of clarity is, and also your pride. If you are a believer in your walk, you have to be able to have set your pride aside and humble yourself, like I said earlier, to receive correction. Because if you put your walls up and you say, don't tell me that what I'm doing is not okay. I'm walking with God. Everything's okay because I'm walking with God.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, everything's not okay. Just because you're walking with God doesn't change your issues.
Right.
God changes your issues. But if you're being called out, you know, because you're being a piece of crap, or they're like, hey, dude, you're lying, dude. We've caught you lying. We've caught you doing this. You know, and you've got leaders coming to you. Like, I've had that where I've talked to, you know, talking to the teenagers is a little different too. But, you know, you talk to someone, the teenager's like, hey, dude, you know, you're just in the bathroom for a while, and now it smells like the wacky tobacco. Okay. Okay.
Right.
You're a kid, you know. You know, I can't be doing that here. You know.
Right.
When you're 18 or whatever the law says now on it, you know, then you can make your own adult decision. But as long as you're a kid and you're here, and, you know, I don't care what your parents say yes or no about it. And he was actually super, he was chill about it. I guess he was a little too, you know, maybe he was a little too wackied out of his tobacco. But, you know, then I've had kids where I've been like, hey, dude, you know, I see it a lot more with anger. I've seen it more like when the kid has anger, so I'm like, hey. You know, you gotta be slow to anger. Oh, you know, I am. I've had enough of it today. I'm like, do you have enough of it every week? Is that why you always come here so, you know,
bitter
and stuff?
Yeah.
But, you know, and I think that's a part of it. But, I mean, and you have to know how to navigate that, too. And that's a huge thing with teaching, too, is navigating. Because, like I've said before, I want to say it's an axe or whatever it is.
What are we talking about?
Being a sheep. And how, you know, sheep they'll be led astray. And we have to have, you know, like I said before, sheep are stupid. Very stupid. And you have to have patience, because it's hard when you're dealing with a stubborn animal, stubborn person. You've got the stubbornness. You know, it's like as a mule, and you go like, okay, I've had to help them though. Especially if, say, you got new believers who are you're trying to teach. You said new believers, and they're stubborn. Mm-hmm. Like, no, I still like doing what I used to do. Don't tell me what I'm doing is wrong. It's like, okay, dude, but you need to learn. We're trying to help. No, you cannot go walk by this cliff. The cliff equals death. Stay away from the cliff. But I really like the view. Okay. Like, you know, and at some points, I mean, I've been there with kids. You're just like, okay, you know, whatever, man. You know, like, you make it really hard to want to help you when you don't want to listen. Because, right. And it's the same thing with adults. I think kids are a little easier.
Mm-hmm. True.
But I feel adults are the hardest. That's why I don't do a youth ministry.
Yeah, I get that. I do. I deal with a lot of adults, and I don't deal with any youth at all. I don't deal with youth at all. Not in that sense, not in that capacity. I think it's an important turn to then switch over to how to teach rightly. There's three main points that scripture makes, as well as early foundational fathers and apostles were making. And those three points are simple. Simply put, study first, live it out, community focus. So to hit those points, study first. 2 Timothy 2:15, if you don't know, the context is 14 to 26, that whole section. It contains Paul's instructions to Timothy about leading other believers. And two important themes here are avoiding pointless bickering and holding to sound biblical teachings instead. Arguments over non-essential issues quickly turn into feuds, poisoning the body of Christ, just as gangrene attacks on the physical body. Paul names specific false teachers, but brings a notice, like a note of compassion. And so in verse 15, he reminds Timothy that gentleness and patience are key, especially throughout the whole context, if you read it. And after all, those who do not believe are not our enemies. They are those who we are trying to rescue from the control of the devil, from sin. Sin feels free until you try to get away from it. 2 Timothy 2:15, just to read that.
Dude, what you just said there. That's a t-shirt right there.
Yeah, no kidding.
it doesn't seem that bad until you try to get away.
Yeah, you know? Sin seems free until you try to get away.
I think that's the enemy's, the biggest thing they have is that sin is made to seem so appealing. And so like, what's the harm in that? What's the harm in simple little white lie.
Mm-hmm.
What's the harm in just looking a little bit?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Because what happens is, you know, you give the enemy an inch, they're going to take a mile. And they're going to have...
You don't even know it.
And then the next thing you know, you're like, oh, I just lied a bunch. I just lied to get out of that. I just made up a, you know, lie that I just... hit a dog to get out of, you know, get out of trouble. So that way, you know, a true story, but that was terrible. And that was in high school, but
sorry. Well, while you're choking.
Thank you. Yes.
2 Timothy 2:15. The verse itself says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. It's important to know what that means. And this is 2 Timothy. You can go a little bit further into 2 Timothy where it gets to chapter 3, 16 to 17, where it says all scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, correction, for training righteousness. And this right here, so study first, is so that we can accurately handle scripture. And it's very well noted and duly noted to use tools like lexicon, strong concordance, stuff like that, so that you're not just reading English, you're going back reading Hebrew, you're reading Greek, you're reading Aramaic, you're reading these translations and the words, like we've already been doing this episode, because a lot of times we say a word, like, for example, I think we said this so many times on this podcast. Like if I say, oh, I love mac and cheese, and then I go home and I say, oh, I love my wife. It's the same word, but it's definitely different understandings.
Agape.
But right. The Bible, when it says love, it had specific definitions of those words for love because it had multiple ways to say it. And it had different definitions within those words. So it's always important to have a study, a lexicon, or something with your reading and with your studying.
Yeah, that was a good verse. I like that verse. Can you read it one more time?
Which one?
Good. 2 Timothy, the one you just read.
The 2 Timothy 2, do your best to present yourself, or the Bible one? The 3:16.
Both.
So the 2 Timothy 2:15 was, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then read the second one too.
The other one is 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17. I've quoted this a lot too. All scriptures breathed out by God, profitable for teaching. Oh,
that, for that's what it was. That's what it was.
Yeah, the teaching. I got the word in there.
You know what? No. But listen to that. Listen to that. Does it say some? Does it say a little bit? No. All. It says all, right? And what does all mean?
Profitable for teaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what does all mean? You know what all means?
All. Mm-hmm.
All means all, and that's all it means.
True.
That's all of it. That means every single piece of scripture. Mm-hmm. And there, it's in your Bible or it's not in your Bible. Was breathed by God Himself. It was made. It is from God.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people are like, "Oh, well, where does it ever say that? You know, this is all written by God." And who says? You know, they question that all the time. I've had people question that and say, mm-hmm. Well, how do you know it's the word of God? Because it says it's the word of God, and because as God spoke, this is God's word. God, people were just used as vessels to have it written.
Yeah.
You know, you look at it.
Right. I think the next episode, just a suggestion while we're here, is going to be about the Bible as a whole, because scripture
sneak
is all.
Sneak peek. You guys are hearing it here first. Yeah. I like that. It probably will be now. Or we might get some random idea last second. We don't know whatever God's going to call us. But I love that part because you know what? Just from a teaching perspective, like if I were to read that verse, you know, you read that verse. That's one of those verses you can read a few times. You're going to get something out of it every time. That's another thing I encourage you guys. If you are reading you're teaching, read the verse about, 100 times. It's going to speak to you differently every single time. But like you said, I love that verse right now.
Yeah, that's where study Bibles come in play. That's where you need to have backing to help you read and study and understand. Because, again, we've talked about this, where English is kind of dumbed down to agree, where you can say the same word, it means all these different
English
stuff.
English is dumb. It's stupid. I'm done with helping out with English homework too. I can't handle it. There's 3 different types of theirs. Mercedes got 3 E's, all different sounds. That keeps me up at night. I wake up going, oh, Mercedes. The A and D's. It's so stupid.
I know, I'm with you on that one. That's why I say it's always important to use tools. Tools.
So like, the second part of that. Spanish, easy. Sorry. Yes.
Continue. 2 degree, second part
of that. Spanish, what does it look like? Oh, okay, that's how it sounds. Plus, if you get a J, it's an H.
True.
Two L's make a Y. Okay, got it. Tortilla, not tortilla. Okay.
That one always gets me. The second part to that. Yeah, because the second part of that, though, is live it out, right? A good example of this is Titus 2:7-8. If you don't know the context, it's actually verse 1 through 10. Titus 2:1-10 is the whole context. It's actually Paul's instruction to Titus regarding the way various groups within the church should be coached. It includes specific instructions for older men, women, younger men, and women's and servants and other people within that community. And Titus is to encourage traits such as faithfulness, respectfulness, dignity, and self-control, and living the way not only that draws others to Christ, but it leaves critics with no room to attack our faith. So, for example, in verse 7-8, it says, in all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity and doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing to say about this. And this is good example of where you can see it in a lot of Proverbs. And there's a lot of wisdom to say, like, you keep your mouth shut, you think, and then you speak. It is not something where you flash shots. I am coming at you. No, that's wrong. It's wrong. You're an idiot. It's stupid. Whatever. And like, you don't do that stuff. It is someone's saying something, and let's say they're not Christian or they are, that's, at this point, it's just someone who has an alternative viewpoint or an alternative understanding. Listen, not listening to come back or fight back, but listening to understand what their perspective is and why they had that perspective. So then you can discuss it. For example, on Facebook, one of our TikTok videos, actually, I don't know if you saw on, Instagram Reels, it's Facebook side. Instagram Reels, one of our videos actually had someone comment very, very strongly, a very thick comment, like 4 paragraphs thick. And kind of like disagreeing.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was disagreeing with the premise of the video. And so I responded. I'm like, oh, interesting point. And then I responded to his. It took 2 paragraphs just to calmly be like, okay, so you say this, and he did, you could tell he did believe in the Bible and scripture, but he had a very strong viewpoint about using the term religion or the word religion. And so I went back and forth, and after the fourth back and forth, the fourth time, he's like, usually I'm banned by now. I appreciate you not banning me and kicking me and blocking me. Thank you for let's keep talking. And so we did. There's 12 comments back and forth of just us discussing, and very civil, very calm. It was really cool to see that after a while, there were some points that we both agreed on. And I think some of the stuff that he was going into was going into definitions that were not biblical definitions and not using tools like lexicons or strong concordance. I'm like, well, this, the original Greek word for this is this, and that's what the standpoint, you can look this up. And so it was just kind of going into a little bit more depth. And it wasn't something like, oh, forget you, get off my videos. Like, if you don't like it, don't comment. Like, I didn't do that. I didn't say block them.
No. That's we've said from day one, though, too.
Right. It's you that know, integrity.
If you don't like what we have to say, then, you know, that's fine.
That's fine.
We're not perfect. And that's, you know, we're here to have a discord. Mm-hmm. We're not here to shut down. If you don't agree with us, you think, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we will listen to you, you know.
Right.
If you're, you know, if whatever your belief system is, we will listen to you and we'll have a discussion, because when you stop talking is when, that's when nothing changes and everybody gets in their echo chambers and nobody, you don't grow. You know, right. But before we jump ahead or jump back into that, I wanted to mention, I brought it up at work one time when we were working at AT&T, not a sponsor. unless you want to, let us know.
No.
ICSP for the win. Anyways, so Proverbs 17:28. No, even a fool is considered wise when he is keeps silence. You know, when he closes his lips, he's esteemed is an esteemed man of understanding. You know, it basically. My father always, my dad always summarized it, you know, more in his way of saying it. It's better to be thought a fool than to speak and erase all doubt. So that's what, you know, in a sense too, there's, you have to know when to be quiet. Because there's going to be times where it's not going to be necessarily, as in teaching, where you're going to have people who aren't trying to be conducive and trying to make conversation.
Mm-hmm.
They're just wanting to rally you up. They're just trying to, they're not going to be helpful. And that's when it's better just to be quiet and let them make the fool of themselves. Mm-hmm. Not saying that, you know, if you disagree with us, you're a fool. But right. I mean, yeah. I mean, that's the saying is, that's, yeah, the saying is from the verse. It's better to remain silent to be thought a fool and to speak and erase all doubt, which is actually, I think, Abraham Lincoln famously said that, and or it was Mark Twain, it was one of the two, but I think it was based off of the, you know, I did a whole study on this because those two old guys came in there and I said, and he was like, he's like, oh, you sound like a fool. I'm like, well, you know what they say, it's better to, you know, be quiet than be thought a fool. He's like, what? I'm like, I think that's what they said, you're quoting Abraham Lincoln. He's like, no, I think it's Mark Twain. I'm like, actually, I'm pretty sure it's the Bible.
Right.
But yeah,
I mean, you see Proverbs 21:23 just say, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of the trouble. You see Proverbs 15:1 though, go back and say, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You see James 1, got you again, 26, where it says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. David in Psalms 141 said, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth, keep watch over the door of my lips, because our words can corrupt very quickly. Ephesians 4:29, just to kind of prove your point, let no corruption talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So these are things that you can see fall into the line of studying first, accurately handle scripture, living it out, including how we speak, how we talk, how we interact with people. And then the last thing I said on that list is community focus. And to bring that conversation in for us to discuss, Colossians 3:16. Colossians 3:16, 12 to 17 is the context there. And it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. This correlates to, if you don't know, it references, it's within reference of 1 Corinthians 12:28. And in this sense that first in Colossians 3:16, it's talking about as a group, right? In all your hearts. And he's talking to the collective people who are believers here. And in 1 Corinthians 12:28, which the context is verse 12 to 31, you can see it says, and God has appointed to the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, the miracles, the gift of healing, helping, administrating various kinds of tongues. Actually, if you look into it a little bit further, it spells it out a little bit better in Greek, where it says, second are prophets, third are teachers, those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who can speak in unknown languages. It spells it out to understand that the Holy Spirit has many gifts upon believers, and we are all body of Christ, and we have different roles within God's command to go out and speak and teach and be a part of his kingdom.
Exactly. Like, you know, what's the saying? We're all different, you know, parts of the body, basically.
Yeah, you know, but teaching is a body effort.
Exactly. That is so true. That is, yeah, because, like, you know, where I could go up there and I could teach. I could teach to the, you know, for a group of people. And I think we've even done this, like, where we've had, like, youth events over at Cornerstone, where, you know, I think, I don't know if I taught, Spencer taught, somebody taught, but then you did worship during one of those things, you know? Because you had that ability to go up there and shred it on the guitar.
In a holy way.
One or the other. you know.
Not distraction.
Play, you know, play one of those 30-something instruments you can play. You know, a little flex. I mean, I'll flex for you. You don't have to. You know what I mean? Like, you have that ability.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, in... This, I tell you guys right now, this guy in small group discussion, you're like, oh, well, this, and that. And throw like five different verses. It's like, we're just discussing this one. Just disgusting. Discussing this one. And it's disgusting how much you can spit out on one verse. It's amazing, though. That's just, you know, build you up a little bit. I don't feel like I was supposed to do that.
Appreciate it. We build each other up. That's good.
another thing that men don't have a hard time doing. It's complimenting one another and building each other up.
Also the opposite, though.
How so?
And like in the sense of, we have a tendency to mess with each other in a negative way. That's very impacting in a derogatory, negative sense. And that's really easy to get into.
Yeah.
You play Call of Duty a couple times and now you're yelling at each other. You know, it's really easy to go both ways in that sense, but
yeah.
But I your point being,
you know,
it's good. Yeah, it's good to encourage each other. It's good to lift each other up. Exactly what we're called to do as brothers and sisters in Christ.
And that takes me, that, you know, totally reminds me of John 21. When Jesus shows back up to the, you know, them, you know, he talks about, you know, they'd finished eating and Jesus says, you know, Peter, son of John, who loved me more, you know, than these. Yes, Lord, I you know, I love you. He's like, then feed my sheep, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, he says, do you love me? He's like, yes, I love you. Like, take care of my sheep. And then he says it a third time, you know, it's like Peter was hurt, you know, and he said it a third time, do you love me? He's like, yeah, why do you keep, you know, why do you do that? Then, you know, you need to take care of my sheep. You know, Peter turned and saw the disciple who he loved, you know, it was Jesus, it was with them, John. Man, what an arrogant guy. You know, sorry, someone who loved. But, you know, he talks about that, feed my sheep, take care of each other. That's like the biggest thing to do with that. Like, I was just thinking that verse is, you know, I was thinking about that when I was talking about that, because it is very true. It's taking care of one another is, you know, if we're talking about accountability and all that, is taking care of the group of people too. If we're all believers and we're teaching, feed them. You need to feed the flock. You need to take care of the flock. Mm-hmm. Go after the one. Give the 99. It's a...
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Just follow him. Just follow me. It's all. This is what it says in 19. You know, would, you know, I wish I would indicate, you know, and said, then he followed me. Follow me, follow me, follow me. This all leads back to Jesus. It's crazy.
Can I share a Bible input fact that you might enjoy? Okay, so who denied Christ three times?
Peter. Simon and then Peter. He swore.
Sure. And then, so in the chapter you brought up, John 21, right?
Yeah.
Jesus asks, who? He says, Jesus asks Simon Peter, do you love me more than these? How many times does he ask him?
Viewers.
We don't have viewers yet, so he's holding up three fingers. Three times. I was saying it in the sense that, you know, this is like the redemption part where he denied Christ three times. And then Jesus asks Simon Peter, do you love me? Yes. Feed my lambs. Simon, do you love me? Yes. Then shepherd my sheep. Hey, Simon, do you love me? Yes. You know that I love you. Okay, feed my sheep. And it's like the three times he asked back. I just love the beauty of that in an artistic way of how that lines up. You know, the three times denied, the three times loved. Anyways, yeah.
It was funny because I think it was a pastor's perspective or whatever it was, but they were breaking down the Greek. I think the Greek of it with when Peter denies three times, and the third one he says he swears I did not know him, but the translation would have been he actually would have swore, like let out a swear word, and like said something like that, I didn't know him. And talks about how, you know, how that even changed like the way his mentality was after the third time denying God. You know, where he was swearing and he was talking with foul language.
It's
which is
some earlier understandings of it was a curse on me if I'm lying. Like basically, just it was a harsh thing to say. It was just in the sense of
they're saying
like,
that
it's like saying it's like saying F me if I'm wrong, like if I'm lying or something.
It was saying basically, like along those concepts.
Yeah,
it was the same basically concept. Swearing without, you know, like with that. And so it was talking like, you know, like it was talking about like, oh, you know, it was the accountability thing where it's from like, you know, how do you feel about swearing if you're a believer? Like, oh, you know, it is what it is. And the sinner's going like, well, what about that with Peter? And it's like, oh, no, I didn't realize that. I'm like some, you know, and it's things to think about too with your walk and accountability. I feel like I need to share that. Maybe somebody needs to hear that who's listening. I don't know.
Yeah. No. So
I don't really give it. No, I just don't.
I will say with this, okay, so that's how to teach rightly in the sense of going through the word and how the Bible says it, what they were teaching others to teach and how they were to teach. So to kind of go into this quickly and briefly, the next section I was going to talk about was dangers to avoid, right? Because these are things that are really easy to get into and scary and not good. So for example, false teaching, very upfront and blunt. 1 Timothy 4:16 is a good example of this. If you don't know, context is actually verse 11:2-16. It actually focuses on Timothy's own personal conduct as the leader of a Christian church, and Paul emphasizes ideas such as persistence, confidence, and diligence. Of particular importance is that Timothy live out an example for other believers. Among the most powerful counters to false teaching are the positive results of spiritual truth can bring. Along with teaching the truth, Timothy must live it by devoting himself to these principles. And so Paul reassures Timothy that he can be a powerful positive influence for Christ. So 1 Timothy 4:16, it says, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So Paul's concluding verse in this passage offers a lot of wisdom, obviously. He evaluates himself and tells him to evaluate himself. Perhaps again, building on the athletic analogy to use, if you read earlier in verse 8 and 15, and the ability to understand, teach, and live out the truths of the gospel are central to the work of a Christian church leader. And these have been the themes of Paul's messages. With this, you can see it's detrimental because doctrine impacts eternity in that sense. And he not only says yourself, he says yourself and your hearers. He's making a point that he could save his life and those of the church from the errors of false teaching through his example by teaching truth. And it's really important that it's not about earning salvation in this sense. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that to save them from false doctrine that can lead them astray, to move them away. So that's why it's like, hey, you'll save both yourself and your hearers. Yeah. So it's doctrine impacts eternity. Mm-hmm. It's really easy to lead people astray. That's why teachers and people who are teaching are held to a higher standard.
And, exactly.
Yeah.
That's why it's important not to mess with anything the Bible says. You know, like it says in the last chapter of Revelation. Mm-hmm. Anybody who takes their ads, you know, or, you know, takes away your ads to this book, you know, I forget exactly the context, but it basically says, you know, like, you'll be damned. Like, don't do it. Don't mess with the book.
Revelation 22:19. I've used to quote this a lot. Yeah. It says, anyone takes the word away from the scroll of the prophecy, God will take away from the person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which is described in the scroll.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Which is, yeah. Interesting. I mean, to say the least. I feel bad for Martin Luther. No. Not Junior. In the 94 Reformation of the Catholic Church.
You talk about Protestantism.
Yep. Because he did take away some books and stuff. But.
Next episode, we're going to get into that. Don't you worry. To kind of lead us to the end here, though. Yes. Second danger to avoid, main danger, is pride. And what are you talking about, pride? I'm not prideful. What are you talking about? You're prideful.
Never
be prideful. James
3:1. You hit Philippians 2? Did you hit that at all? Because I can say, I can hit it real quick if you want to finish with that one.
Go to Philippians 2.
Philippians 2:3-4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain. Rather, in humility, value others than yourself. Do not look to your own interests, but each other's interests in others. You know what I mean? Because that's a big thing in teaching. There's a lot of in today's church.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot where it is either you have the selfish teacher who it is like, hi, welcome to my church. This is my show. And this is all me.
It's my ministry.
My ministry, like, glory to God, of course. But, you know, I'm a personality. You know, haha. The people that are tithing money, please. Not in a way, because I've been, you know, churches where it's like, hey, you know, giving your tithe is important. Mm-hmm. Give to the church. We're going to help the community. This is what it goes to our community. That's what your money goes toward. Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's looking to others. And then I've been to a couple of church where it's all about me and give me your money. And that's and those are people that are teachers, and those are the people that even, you know, possibly have told me to, hey, you know, when you don't want to be a teacher, you know, you're going to be judged harder. I've been told that by people who are like that. I thought it was, looking back on it, kind of ironic.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, wait, you are a teacher. Yeah. Why would you tell me?
Wait a minute.
And then, but look at Philippians 2 right here. Do nothing out of selfish ambition, rather in the humility.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it for your own interest, but the interest of others. It's, you know, and it's funny, you know. Unfortunately, that is an issue that a little more common.
Yeah.
And I wish it would. That's one of my pet peeves of church, but that's a whole different thing. If you like to go to your book of James.
Well, it's the same verse that we started off with, James 3:1, right? Do not become teachers in large numbers, my brothers, since okay, so do not become teachers in large numbers, my brothers, since you know that we are teachers will incur strict judgment, right? James starts, however, here in this chapter with a warning about taking the title of teacher. Because not many Christians should aspire to be labeled as teachers. James writes, those who claim the mantle of teacher will face stricter judgment or will be judged with greater strictness. The more one claims to know, the more accountable they are held for what they do with their knowledge. John 9:41, for example, talks about that.
I want to go on the record and say I know nothing.
Yeah, no. Right. Teaching is a stewardship, not a status, which falls into what you were saying, right?
Yes.
The last danger to avoid, I would say, in this instance, so we can kind of wrap this up, is neglecting the spirit. Ooh. Okay, neglecting the spirit. I jumped the gun. I'm sorry.
He's going to insert a drum roll. And if he didn't, you guys need to spam that one reel he put on there and just put no drum roll.
No drum roll. I'll clip it. That's fine. I think, example, 1 Peter 4:11. Context is verse 1 to 11. So read the whole context. Important. It says, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking actual words of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Speak God's words, not your own. Because it's really easy to start speaking your own. I've seen way too many clips of pastors, way too many clips on TikTok, way too many clips on Reels and YouTube and here and there. Pastors getting up there saying, you know what, this is not what, I don't like this, or I'll say, I don't know, so I'm going to say it this way because this makes sense to me. It's like, that's strictly against what the Bible teaches you to do.
Didn't you post something on, you had something on your story the other day about that?
Oh yeah, yeah, I did.
Definitely. And I was really like, I was thinking, I was listening to the, it was some young guy who was talking, I was going like, what?
Right, I was like
No, I
forget his name. He's like Cake something, but he says he's a teacher. He says he is someone who is biblically trained, and there's just some of the stuff he says and some of the stuff he does is really immature in a sense that it's unfaithful to scripture. I'm sure there's some stuff that he's that's good stuff to say, but a lot of it, there's some really raunchy immatureness that's really dangerous for people to see and think, oh, I should do that too.
I mean, I get if you're new in the walk and you're trying to teach, but like,
you're not called
somebody
to.
He needs somebody who's gonna. He needs a mentor or needs somebody,
community.
It's hard to have a youthful spirit. You know, you can have that. Like, I think, I teach, but I also, I have that youthfulness. That's why I do youth ministry and stuff. But like, when it comes down to it, I'm going to teach biblically, accurate to the point. Things, and I'm sure my job is not the same as like a head pastor, where they're gonna be teaching to the masses. Where I'm gonna, we're gonna teach about this, and then we're gonna also shove cake in somebody's face, because that's part of getting to do youth ministry and stuff, and but make it entertaining though for a younger generation, because that's kind of what you have to do. You put a spin on it. But not in a spin where I'm changing the word of God. Mm-hmm. I'm just making it more relevant for a younger audience. Making the connection for a younger audience. That's the only part that you need to do. If not change it, but you need to make it more relevant for your audience. And that's for teaching anything, too. Like, if you're going to sit there and teach me about, like the guitar. You're not going to describe the guitar the same way you would describe it to somebody who has, a musical background, who, played the saxophone for 5 years or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you got me who knows, I know some piano and I can, bang on the drums a little bit, So for me, you're like, okay, Dylan, look it. So you're going to move your hand like this, and this is called the D chord. But hold your hand like this. You don't want to do it flat. You want to do it like this. Where somebody else, you're like, okay, this is this is the four chords you need. Here. Learn the hand position. It's.
I think practical steps overall, just to kind of sum it up. If you are looking at the teaching side of it, you want to study, you want to learn, you want to grow. Study first, live it out, be part of the community. Teaching is a body effort. Start small, family, small groups. You can see Deuteronomy 6:6-7 as an example of that. Use reliable tools. BibleRef.com is nice, good, helpful lexicon, biblical lexicons, Strong's Concordance, stuff like that, that will help you study Bibles, especially, will help you see more into what these verses are talking about, what they reference to. Don't read verses out of context. Know the context, like me and Dylan have been quoting. This verse is the context. Read it as a whole. Pray for discernment. James 1:5 says to pray for discernment. It's very important to understand that Jesus Christ is the center of it. So we go to him when we need him, when we want understanding, when we want clarity. And to do so within groups, to strengthen your foundation, to make sure that it's not being led astray or it's not being pushed somewhere that doesn't line up biblically or scripturally. Yeah, I think as a call to action, I think it's really important to, like, for example, just pick a verse on teaching, study it, and share it with a friend or a family or somebody this week, just to be able to be like, if that's your calling, if you feel led to do so, do it. Like, just take Romans 1:16, for example, take that verse, read it, study it, read the Greek version and what those each word in that means. Use Bible Ref to see what the context is. Use a study Bible to see what's the notations for that verse and what it's referencing. And really delve deep into it, and then share it with someone, because that's what's really important. That's why it's really hard to say, "Oh, I'm a teacher," or "I want to be in teaching," because it's not just reading a verse and then walking. What the Bible says, it's reading verse, study, read, study, and just basically pull it apart. What's the context? What's this word mean? What was this being said for? Why did this matter? What is this referring to? Because Bible is referring to itself over and over again. It's reference on reference on reference. So these are things that you start doing to start to see clearly so that you can speak clearly. Go for it.
Yeah. I don't know. I think like you said, like, I just think of a lot of too, like the meditating on the word. And if like people who want to teach know that it will be hard, but don't be discouraged by that. Because if God is calling you, that follow that. And know that he's not going to lead you to fail. Like, I think that's a lot of what was pushed on me. A lot of, you're going to, you know, if you fail, you know, it means you don't, you know, you'll go to hell. I'm like, well, why would, like, I'm 13, I'm 12. why are you telling me this? Why? And there's, you know, to me, I was like, looking back, I'm going like, that's so messed up. Like, I'd be like, hey, it's going to be hard. You can do it. These are the things that you need to be aware of. You need to be informed. You need to have this, all the things that we talked about today.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wish I'd been told early to, like, look into Greek. Like, learning the Greek meanings of words. So it makes more sense. So, like, you can break down words and even, you know, just do a whole thing like Greek, like, unashamed. You know, a significance signifies, what is it, a lack of shame, a state of being without cause for shame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which gives, you know, and that's the way, you know, stuff like that. I just wish there had been more of that for me. And for anybody listening to this who feels like, well, they need to be a teacher or feel they're called to it, for, you know, proactively go after it.
Right.
Don't be intimidated by that, because if God is truly calling you that, he's going to make it clear, and he will put people in your lives to guide you through that. And if it's not to be, he will make it clear very soon. And sometimes you're called into a season of teaching. And you're good to teach. And then, you know, there's like this time for people, you know, I've heard people like, oh, I was a pastor for 5 years. I'm like, only 5 years? What happened? Or, you know, are there a pastor for 40, 30 years, you know, until the day they die? You know, like right now, I'm kind of in the hiatus where I'm like, I'm on baby leave. I haven't really been, you know, because we have multiple youth on staff, and we're looking at different churches now too, where it's like I'm not really in a official leadership role, but I still call myself a teacher, because I still, you know, that's still where I've always been. And like, I take this almost as we're doing, we do the podcast, as a form of teaching, because people are hearing the word and we are teaching. So we're not only just talking about this just to say it, but we also have to live it and have this as a to show us a guideline of, you know, because we need to understand that even this in itself is a form of teaching you, the listener. So, and I think it's super important. I just want to encourage anybody who feels like they want to teach, don't let anybody tell you you can't. Let God guide you and where you need to be. That's my big thing. Because, you know, feed my sheep.
Yep. So with that, I think is a good place to end this episode. It's been, I think, one of the longer ones, but
it's good.
It's good to study. Dylan and I both cover this topic pretty well. And I think this is a good place to end. I think because of you coming from that background of dealing with what you have and what you just explained, I think it's good to you pray us out. And then, go for it.
100%. Thank you. I love to pray. It's my favorite thing to do, man. Well, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to teach your word, the opportunity to share with others, you know, what we have learned, our perspective on, you know, on what your word has been, you know, what your word is, and just that we, that you lead us, Lord, and that we don't just do what we want to do, Lord, but we feel called to do this, Lord, and that we're going to listen and obey you. And I pray this for anybody who's listening to this that feels as if though they are the teach, Lord. Give them that clarity, Lord, that they are the teach, Lord. Do not hide it from them. Do not, you know, don't let them feel discouraged by others, but make it clear for them. And if they feel they are called to teach and they're not supposed to, shut that door fast and hard. Let them know. Mm. Don't let it linger. Don't let it be a question for them, but let them know. I just thank you, Lord, for all that you do and will provide for us and for our listeners, you know, and whether you answer it with a yes or a no, I just thank you. Mm-hmm. Pray this in your name, amen.
Amen. Alrighty, well, I'm your host, Jason, and my co-host, Dylan.
Yep, and well, I'll see you on the flippity-flop.
See you on the next one. Bye-bye.